Boy, I watched myself on the show yesterday from the laundry room on the laundry cam. My hair was crazy. I had this giant piece of hair. Nobody told me. Why didn't you tell me I had a giant piece of hair sticking out in the back? Well, it still kind of is. Yeah, not much improvement now that you mention it. And I have a new piece here sticking out here. How entertaining is that? Phenomenal. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender from the laundry room here. This is a phone cord hanging down. I know it's there. I know it's there. There's a landline here. Can you believe it? I'm going to leave it there just because it's interesting. And Judy's going to be here. I don't know when. I'm like anticipating like Christmas Day. I didn't realize this till after the show yesterday, but yesterday was the anniversary of Judy Garland's death, and I spoke about her, gave tribute to her, honored her, homage. And June 22nd, she died. She was born June 10th. She was a Gemini. And I'm a Libra. Libras and Geminis are famous, the most compatible signs in the whole zodiac. Don't poo-poo the zodiac, my friends. Read Dr. Bullinger's book, Witness of the Stars, the whole story of creation. The plan of salvation, I should say, is written in the stars. The stars declare God's handiwork. And we are influenced by heavenly bodies. Raquel Welch, for instance. Just kidding. No, I'm not, actually. Yeah, I'm old school. That's going way back there. So, Geminis. Wow. Yeah, Judy and I would have been gotten along great. Aquarius is the next most compatible sign with Libra. Between Gemini and Aquarius. If you're a Gemini, if you're an Aquarius out there, folks, you and I will get along great. Oh, somebody sent me, where is that? All right, tomorrow, somebody, a gentleman in, I can't remember where he lives, but sent me a photo to be used as a bookmark. I really appreciate this. I love seeing pictures of you. Send them, you know, to the Stark and Hartman address in Canton. Now, I'm just a little hesitant to give out my address here. You know, I'm on 17th Street in Fort Lauderdale, but I send them to Stark and Hartman headquarters, a photograph, or email me a photograph of you. I like to see the faces of the people that I'm talking to. Helps me feel closer to you. You see me every day in all my, you know, humility, my inglorious presentations here. Freelance, off the cuff, sincere. Though, yes, sincere. I want to see you. So send me a photo. If you want to be a bookmark in my Bible, it's honorable use. It's a vessel of honor, really. Then send it to me, and I will use it for that purpose. I have several people in my Bible now that I'm using for bookmarks. But otherwise, just drop me a line. Send me an email. Include a photo of yourself, and I will acknowledge it 6 months from now. Just kidding. I'm trying to get better at that. Okay, The Unveiling, Chapter 16. Speaking about this earthquake, it's prodigious. Of course it is. But not only that, it's big. And even God points out that it's big. So that's when you know it's big. And all the nations fall. And Babylon the Great, this is where I left off. Let me finish reading verse 18 through verse 21, which concludes chapter 16 of the unveiling. And Babylon the Great is brought to remembrance before God. We're going to be talking about Babylon in the next week. To give her the cup of the wine of his furious indignation. And every island fled, and the mountains were not found. Here's another thing. Every island fled, and the mountains were not found. You realize that the mountains are a result of upheavals, of past cataclysms. If it's not the disruption, then it's the flood of Noah. But I think the disruption of the world, which preceded the flood of Noah, the first earth was ruined at the disruption. This was before humanity even came upon the scene. I think all these geological problems that we have, and I'm sorry, folks, but you look at the earth, and we have had some geological problems. We have had some major shakeups here on this planet. You may have heard me tell the story of my German friend Herb Dirks, who is no longer with us, but he was hardcore, man. He couldn't get over these cataclysms. He couldn't get over, like, the disruption and the flood of Noah, because he was very serious man about God, and he knew that God was going to bring other events. Second Peter talks about this when Peter says, people who are oblivious, people who don't realize that God does things, people who think that life is just going on every day like it always has, nothing's new, it's boring, what are you talking about, judgment? There ain't no judgment, They're oblivious of these giant cataclysms that have happened, the flood of Noah and the disruption of the world. The disruption of the world between eons 1 and 2, the flood of Noah between eons 2 and 3. And my friend Herb would always point these things out to tell people that there are future judgments, that you can't just think that things are going to go on as they have, as they always have, because it's not going to happen. And you could point out a beautiful mountain to Herb. I think Herb shared this story with us. Yeah, a friend of mine pointed out a beautiful, sorry, my German accent, terrible, beautiful mountain. And they said, Herb, isn't it beautiful? He said, no, it's the disruption. The disruption. He couldn't see the beautiful mountain with its current meadow-like appearance, the flowers on the mountain, green grass. No, to him, it was the bones of the disruption. To him, it was evidence that there had been great cataclysms that have visited this planet. And true enough, he's right about that. Leave it to God to even make the remnants of the disruption look good. Covers it with nice grass. The Appalachians are much older mountains than the Rockies, speaking of my country, here in the United States. They're older, so they've had time to be covered with trees and plants, flowers. The Rockies, true, they're at higher altitude. They were pushed. Somehow the earth crashed into itself, and this pressure was so great that the land had nowhere else to go but up, and it was shot up. All right, by a similar geologic, miraculous, God-inspired trauma, these same mountains will be leveled. Now, this is what I'm thinking. This is just me. Better put on headphones back on for this one. This is just me. It could be that, you remember, the pressure that created the mountains was an internal pressure. It was pushing in the earth, and then there was no place for the land to go but up. It was forced up. So we got Mount Everest, we got K2, we got Mount McKinley, we got Mount Hood, Mount Rainier, all these great mountains. Pikes Peak in Colorado at 14,110 feet. I climbed it. So the earthquake is going to do this. I think the earthquake is going to be an opening this way, if you're watching the laundry cam, this way, outward rather than inward, and to the point that, like, and it shakes at the same time, so it sucks everything back in. All the mountains just crumble and fall, and the earth is flat again. All you mountaineers out there that barely keep your families fed, I'm sorry. This means that your mountain climbing days are over. Put away your ice picks, your crampons, put away your down boots, because the earth is not going to be like it is now. And so all the mountains are going to, and the islands, I'm not on an island. I'm on a peninsula. No, this is not an island, Florida. No, this is a peninsula, so I'm safe, you see, because not that I'm not going to be here anyway, because look, where is that? It's so great. The cities, Babylon. Every island fled, and the mountains were not found. Every island fled. Could be one of two things there. The earthquake could suck the island back into the water, or we could be seeing a tsunami. But the earthquake obviously is going to create incredible disturbances of the sea, and the sea will cover up the islands, and possibly some peninsulas. All right, but hey, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's going to happen. We're not going to be here, you members of the body of Christ. Even the people who are going to be here, I would have an inflatable raft of some kind ready. That would be my only emergency rations. I would have an inflatable raft. And hail, this is, I got to go, I'm going to go into detail on the hail later, but listen to this. And hail, large as a talent weight, is descending out of heaven on humans. And humans blaspheme God as a result of the calamity of hail, seeing that great is its calamity. Tremendous. I'm not kidding you. This is a quote. I'm going to show you. Knock is quoting this. I know. Everything's reversed. I still have a reversal thing going on, so forget it. What I need is a mirror to show you this. At the end of this, it actually says tremendous. I'm trying to show you the text on the laundry can, but it's not coming into focus, so forget about it. But it's unusual for God to add these things at the end. He usually just says stuff and then leaves it. But when he's talking about the hail, he says this. People blaspheme God as a result of the calamity of hail. They didn't blaspheme him at the calamity of the earthquake that leveled the cities and sunk every mountain. The hail is worse than the earthquake. That's what this is telling me. Yes, that's what I'm saying. The hail is worse than the earthquake. Just the sheer size of it. Why is the earthquake not as bad as the hail? I'm not sure. I think it's the distance that the hail is falling and the velocity. The buildings are falling, but it's not that great of a distance. It could possibly be something like that. All right. I'll get back with you on that more later. Okay, I'm in the middle of a show right now. Thank you. It's the weight of the hail. It's the speed of the hail. It's that it's coming from such a... I mean, look, we have palm trees out here in our yard, and workers come every now and then, and they offer to take our coconuts. I mean, can I have your coconuts? Sure. Can you leave a couple for us, chop them so we can pour the water out of them? Okay, yeah, but they're doing a great service, these crews that come by in their trucks. Can I have your coconuts? Because if a coconut falls from a tree and hits you on the head, there's documented cases here where people die from a coconut falling on their heads. I would not want to die that way. It's not very noble. I wouldn't want to die in the middle of a great cause, you know, to be martyred for my faith. But to have a coconut fall on your head, it's like you'd almost hear a cartoon noise when the coconut hits your head, like, it's a cartoon. That happens on cartoons. How did Zender die? A coconut fell on his head. People, you can't help but laugh. I mean, you feel bad. Zender's dead. That's sad. And then they're like, a coconut fell on his head? Are you kidding me? So, God forbid. But this hail would be much more noble to die in a hailstorm sent by God. I could handle that. You wouldn't laugh at this one. But we're going to talk more about this hail. But it's... yeah. No one's ever seen anything like it. Even God puts an exclamation point. I know that punctuation is not inspired, but A.E. Knock here, who's translating the unveiling, must have seen something in the Greek that inspired him to put an exclamation point. God himself wrote the word tremendous. Men blaspheme God as a result of the calamity of hail, seeing that great is its calamity. M-dash, tremendous. An M-dash. I know that's not inspired either. M-dash, tremendous. And tremendous is not only, this is overkill, but apparently not, such as this hail in this version of the concordant literal New Testament. Tremendous is italicized, and there's an exclamation point at the end of it. And the earthquake doesn't even get that. It's described with the adjective prodigious. But the hail has italics and an exclamation point. All right. I'm going to finish the week tomorrow. I've been wanting to do this to talk about the emotions people have. Not only when they read the unveiling, but when they see other hard things God does. People get emotional fits when we talk about what a believer is. We talk about the second death, or death at all, or the unveiling. It's people are ruled by emotions rather than logic, and it causes them to make faulty conclusions on plain scriptural verses. I'm going to get into this tomorrow. I dare to do it. It's what I do. I like to do it. I get up in the morning so that I can do it, and I can bring it to you. And thank you for sharing this time with me in the mornings. Now I'm doing the show in the morning from the laundry room. I appreciate you sharing this time with me, having your breakfast, your morning coffee. Some of you may be listening on your way to work. I greet you. I would love to see all of you and meet all of you. Of course, it's very impractical, but I just want to tell you at the end of today's show how much I appreciate you. And it wouldn't be the same without you. It wouldn't.